Last week, I began this sermon series that I am calling Mission Possible. And through this three-week series, I am developing a mission statement for this congregation. Now, our church does not currently have an official mission statement, and I'm not proposing that my words become the official statement to put on the website for the world to see, but what this is more of a working document, something that we can use to wrap our heads around as we consider what it means to be a church. If we want to use these words as a springboard to create something of our own, a unique statement for the website, that would be great. The mission statement that I have put together is about as concise as I could make it, weighing in at just 13 words. For comparison's sake, the Lord's Prayer has 64 words. And each week of this series, I am lifting up a different phrase or line from this mission statement. And the statement that I have, which I printed in the bulletin there, says that First Presbyterian Church shall be a welcoming community of disciples of Jesus Christ, striving to demonstrate God's realm. And I believe that everything that we as a church are called to do is contained in those few words. And last Sunday, the first Sunday of the series, we explored the idea that we as a congregation should be a welcoming community. And using the model of the earliest church as described in the book of Acts, I asked how it is that First Presbyterian Church might be such a community of believers living in common, eating together, worshiping together, praying together, sharing freely with one another so that no one has any needs. And we also looked at the word welcoming. What does it mean to be welcoming? Because a church can be a community, but it cannot be exclusive. It must engage with the world. It must be hospitable to all in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is our job not to judge who comes to us. It's our job to welcome. Now, being a welcoming community does not come easy. It takes commitment by all. It requires a shared vision. It demands sacrifice. And I propose that we as a church must always endeavor in everything we do to be such a welcoming community. That's the first line of the mission statement. However, a church has to be more than that. Because, I mean, honestly, any group of people can be a welcoming committee. A social club is a welcoming community. And that is why the second part of our mission statement calls us to be something else. Calls us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, because that is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. We're not just a community, but we are a community grounded in our commitment to follow the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, to help us better understand what this means, I would like now to look at what is the very familiar passage from the Gospel of Matthew. And in this passage, Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and for the first time now, he tells them what will eventually happen to him. He tells them his fate. He tells them that he is going to suffer at the hands of the religious authorities, and he will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised. And then Peter, one of his disciples, is not thrilled to hear this news. And so Peter pulls Jesus aside to speak with him privately out of earshot of the others. And Peter makes it clear that he is appalled that anything should like this should happen to Jesus. Peter doesn't like the fact that it's going to affect him negatively as well. I like to play these words of Peter's in my head. I imagine Peter saying this, hey, boss, that talk of you getting killed, that's not real good for morale. I mean, we've all left a lot to be with you. We figured there was a future with you. I mean, after all, you are the Messiah. We've all said it. And you are going to lead our people to freedom. You will be great. We will be great as well. And we're here with you to the end, but not on a suicide mission. So if you could just, you know, explain to the guys that, well, you were telling one of your parables, and, you know, it'll all be fine. But Jesus will have none of it and blast Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. You are dragging me down. You are thinking yourself, and you don't see the big picture here. And then to the group, Jesus turns and said, if any of you want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. To be a disciple is to be a student. And Jesus chose these 12 so that they might learn from him about the ways of God. They're not to be an army of his soldiers tasked with enforcing his will. They are to be a holy people, charged with spreading Jesus' message to the world. And when Jesus is gone, they are the ones who will continue his work, preaching and teaching and spreading his word throughout all peoples. So what exactly is the message that they are learning? What is Jesus' core message? Well, it is very simple. Jesus' core message is the kingdom of God. As we find early in Mark's gospel, we read Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, I will be talking more about the kingdom next week. But Jesus' message to the world is that the good news of God's kingdom, that God's kingdom has come near, that it is indeed present for us all. It is not some faraway thing that we will never see or attain. It is in some form here among us. And in fact, he tells the disciples that some of them, they will experience the kingdom before they die. But as we know, that's not the only thing that Jesus teaches about. There's another core teaching of his, and it's about love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I like to think of Jesus' statements on love as being the keys to the kingdom. Because with love, we can unlock and enter into the glory of God's holy realm. To be a disciple of Christ is not just to teach Jesus' message, but it is to live it so that we might show others how to find their way into the kingdom. On Thursday night of this week, there was a shooting at a church. The church is St. Stephen's Episcopal down in Vestavia Hills, Alabama. Vestavia Hills is an affluent suburb just south of Birmingham. And on Thursday night, about 25 members of St. Stephen's were gathered in their fellowship hall enjoying a potluck supper. A man entered the fellowship hall and went and sat by himself at a table. The man is 71 years old, and it's believed that he had attended worship at St. Stephen's on several occasions. But it's a good-sized church, so he wasn't known to anyone there that night, but one of the church members, a man named Walter Rainey, everyone calls him Bart. Mr. Rainey went over to this man who was sitting alone and invited him to come and sit at his table. He even offered for his wife to go fix a plate for the man. But the man refused and sat where he was. But then, a few moments later, he pulled out a handgun and he shot Mr. Rainey and two other people there. Another church member jumped into action, hitting the shooter with a chair and wrestling the gun from him and holding him until the police arrived. But three people were shot, and all three died. They were Bart Rainey, age 84, Jane Pounds, also age 84, and Sarah Yeager, age 75. Mr. Rainey died in the church, held in the arms of his wife of 61 years. The next day, his family put out a statement, a beautifully written statement, that says, "We are proud that in his last act on earth, he extended the hand of community and fellowship to a stranger, regardless of the outcome." Without a doubt, Bart Rainey was truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, and by all accounts, he was indeed a wonderfully kind and generous man. And he could have chosen to ignore that stranger, let somebody else go talk to him. And he could have just simply sat and enjoyed his meal with his wife and friends, I'm sure, as they had done countless times before. And if he had, he may be alive today. But Mr. Rainey had a mind set on divine things and not human things. And he walked over to the stranger and welcomed him and invited him to be part of his community. He had no idea what the consequence would be. Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." To be a disciple, one must put aside their own interest and adopt the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the cross, as we all know, it's a large, heavy wooden structure that is the means of execution. And when we say take up your cross, metaphorically, it means that we are to die to our old ways and adapt to a new way of life. But literally, taking up a cross, as Jesus himself would do, means that following Jesus may put you in a situation that will get you killed. As Christians, our job is to do whatever it takes to usher in the kingdom of God. And it's risky business. It means giving up our own self-interest and focusing on the needs of others. It means denying ourselves and picking up a cross, whether that cross is metaphorical or indeed literal. It's not easy to be a disciple. In fact, it may be the toughest thing that any of us do, because being a disciple demands an absolute realignment of our values. And instead of asking, "How can I make myself great?" a disciple asks, "What can I do to bring God's realm a little closer?" My heart is broken at the loss of those three lives at St. Stephen's Church. And my heart goes out to the congregation and the pastors as they will struggle for years, if not forever, with the continuing horror of that night. I have no concept how they're going to bring healing around, but they will. But we are called to be disciples. And if we're going to be disciples, we can't be bystanders or spectators. We can't watch from the sidelines. We have to get into the game. We have to play. And we can't call ourselves a church unless we are committed to being disciples together, forming a community that is welcoming to all. Amen.